Welcome to Her Story, a project by Chick History. I'm your host, Rebecca Price. For 1 year, we asked 50 contemporary women to share the story of the historical woman who has inspired her. Join us every week for a new story of inspiration, from the headliners to the lesser-known gems.
Dust off the books, read all the letters, preserve with time. Dig out the truth written between the lines. Her hair's still brick, cannot be left behind. She shall not be forgotten.
Joining us today on the line for Her Story number 34 is author, web designer, and internet marketing consultant Teresa Thomas Bohannon. In 1995, Teresa founded Spun Silk Web Design as one of the first freestanding, female-owned web design firms in the U.S. As of late, Teresa has returned to her roots, utilizing the exciting new world of online publishing to present a backlog of original novels and short stories to the world, beginning with the self-published Regency romance novel, A Very Merry Chase. She holds an MA in history with a concentration in women's studies and also runs a website called My Lady Web, that offers advice and resources to aspiring female authors and the lessons she's learned in the online publishing world. To learn more about Teresa and her work, you can visit her website, myladyweb.com, and you can follow her on Twitter, at Teresa Bohannon. And I'll spell her last name, it's B-O-H-A-N-N-O-N, and it's Teresa without an H. Teresa, welcome to the show.
Thank you, Rebecca, and thank you for inviting me to participate in your wonderful Her Story Women's History Project.
Well, thank you so much. I'm happy to have you here, too. So let's get started. Who have you chosen to share with us today?
Well, I've chosen to honor Annie Oakley. Annie was my very first hero, or heroine, if you prefer, and probably one of the strongest influences of my early childhood. It was probably because of Annie that I grew up to passionately love both history and action-adventure books and movies, especially those with strong female leads. I was a child of the 50s, and I watched the Annie Oakley TV show when I was so young I couldn't even pronounce her name correctly. Now, I don't remember this, but my mother tells me that I would beg her to put my hair into pigtails like Annie wore, only I called them Annie Oakley curls. I had my little cowgirl outfit, my rocking horse, my toy guns, and I would make up stories starring me and as Annie Oakley and act them out for my parents. I was only 3 or 4 years old at the time, though. So all that was based on a children's TV character portrayed by Gail Davis. And other than the whole riding and shooting and being a strong, independent, and self-confident woman, it didn't have a whole lot of basis in reality. It wasn't until later when I learned to read and check out books that I found out how truly special the real Phoebe Ann Moses Butler, a.k.a. Annie Oakley, really was. Annie started out in a place called Buck County, Ohio, in the early 1860s. Her family was a family of modest means, but a lot of people were back then. Hers had actually been a little step above. They were innkeepers, but then the inn burned down, and they moved to a farm. And unfortunately, things kind of went downhill from there. Annie was a tomboy, and she used to follow her dad into the woods when he hunted and trapped game for the dinner table. I'm sure her mother probably wasn't real happy about all of that, but she did so and learned at her father's knee, so to speak. But then when Annie was about 6 years old, her father died, and that left her mother all alone to tend the farm, keep food on the table and a roof over everybody's head. And that was a tremendous burden for a woman. Back then, especially, when opportunities for women were so very limited. Annie was a very petite girl all of her life. But she was really, really tiny. And as young as she was at this point, she would try to help to do her share by trapping small game to help put food on the table. But eventually, that wasn't enough. When her mother lost the family farm, Annie was about 10 years old, and they sent her to live at the county poor farm or poor house. The people that managed the farm, and I'm using air quotes here, hired Annie out. They sent her to live with a family that worked her really hard and physically abused her. Annie never really went into a whole lot of detail about those years. and she would never even reveal their names. But she always just called them the wolves and told at least one story of being locked outside overnight in a blizzard as punishment for not doing one of her chores correctly. So it really was a horrible time for this tiny little, you know, 10, 11, 12-year-old girl. Anyway, after 2 years with the wolves, Annie ran away and made her way back home to her mother, who still couldn't afford to keep her, and sent her back to the bear farm. Now, this time, the farm superintendent, I guess it was probably a couple, kept Annie close by and safe, and they taught her how to sew and embroider. And being typical Annie, it was a skill that she not only learned, but learned to put to good use later in life. Annie was about 15 when she finally left the poor farm for good and got to return home. This time, tiny little 5-foot-tall, 100-pound Annie took her father's old rifle and killed enough wild game to not only feed the family regularly, but to sell enough extra in town to pay off the $200 mortgage on her mother's new farm. Annie, much probably to everyone's surprise, turned out was a natural-born marksman. With all the exceptional vision, steady hand, and hand-eye coordination to make clean, single-shot kills that didn't ruin the meat. Now, I realize that in this day and age, that may offend a lot of people. But you have to remember, again, we're talking about a time and a place where most of rural America, in particular, had to hunt game to survive, and were very glad to have it. But anyway, to make a long story somewhat shorter, sometime after that, Annie's fame grew locally, and she beat a traveling championship marksman by the name of Frank Butler in a local shooting contest. And she not only won today's equivalent of a $2,000 purse, but his heart in the bargain. They married a few months later, and down and out, high and low, they were together for the next 46 years. Before movies, radio, and television, traveling variety shows were the primary entertainment, especially out in the more rural areas. So Frank and Annie went on the road, living a somewhat gypsy-style existence, making their living as trick shooters in a series of different variety shows. At first, Frank was the star, and Annie worked behind the scenes. But that soon changed, and Annie Oakley, as she was now known, quickly took center stage, using her marksmanship and her seamstress skills to rise to the top of a male-dominated world. Annie was a dead shot, left-handed or right, standing still, or mounted on horseback. She seldom ever missed with rifles, shotguns, or pistols. But beyond all that, she was pretty, petite, and ladylike. It was a true anomaly for many people to see this tiny little woman out here who could handle all these firearms so well. But she also made all her own costumes, and here's where the marketing genius came in. She deliberately designed them to fit her on-stage Western girl persona while very modestly showing off her figure. Remember, this was Victorian era, so audiences wouldn't have taken well to a lady who showed skin. Annie wore leggings and boots and had her skirts were fitted to show off her tiny waist, but there were wide skirts and long sleeves in her hat. So even though she looked cute, and you could see that she was an attractive lady, she was also very modest in her attire, which added to her popularity with the ladies. And she was treated very respectfully as part of the shows, too, kind of like everyone's favorite little sister, and that also probably had to do, it was easy to imagine her in that role because she was so tiny. Audiences everywhere absolutely loved Annie, and eventually, she and Frank made the big time and joined the biggest show of them all, which was Buffalo Bill Cody's Wild West Show. And after that, for more than 17 years, Annie entertained crowds across the United States and in more than a dozen old world countries. It was an exciting life. She charmed everyone. She played before local dignitaries, commoners, presidents, and other celebrities of the day, and even the crowned heads of Europe. Annie even performed at Queen Victoria's Golden Jubilee in London and met the Queen herself. Some of the other highlights of that era included the fact that she helped Thomas Edison test his new movie camera, and that video footage is still out there. And she was informally adopted by Chief Sitting Bull, who gave her the name Little Sure Shot. And according to legend, La Belle Americaine, as she was known in France, was also offered a commission in the French Foreign Legion. She also saved the Prince of Bavaria from a stampeding horse, and supposedly the King of Senegal even offered to buy her for $100,000 to kill the marauding lions in his country. It was all, as I said, it was all probably a very exciting time, and especially for a young girl from a poor childhood in rural Stark County, Ohio. But unfortunately, Annie had her hard times as an adult as well. In 1901, she was in a train wreck and suffered a back injury. That was supposed to end her career as a sharpshooter, but she didn't let it. In 1902, she starred in a play written especially for her, and it flopped. Then in 1903, William Randolph Hearst's newspaper printed a scandalous story about Annie, saying that she had stolen from others to support her cocaine habit. The story was untrue. The woman who was later actually arrested turned out to be a burlesque dancer who was using Annie's name, but Hearst refused to apologize, and he refused to retract the story. Now, Annie, for all her superstar showmanship, was a very modest woman who remained very true to her vision of herself as a genuine lady in what was still very much a man's world. She treasured her good name, and she understood that she was an American icon that other girls and women could look to with pride. So she fought back, and she sued for libel, and she won. It took her 6 years, and in the end, she lost money by the time she paid for all her legal fees and the cost of traveling to all these various courtrooms and all the other related expenses. But she sued all 55 newspapers and won 54 of her lawsuits. And remember, she still lost money, but it was important to her that the faith of her public and her good name should be restored. After that, Annie did a few more shows, but Edison's movie machine was now the new star of the entertainment world. So in 1913, Annie retired, spent the rest of her life doing charitable works and traveling with Frank. She even melted down her medals and donated the proceeds to widows and orphans funds. She put on exhibitions to raise money for the Red Cross and similar causes. And she advocated strongly for women to own guns and learn how to shoot in self-defense and for physical fitness. And, of course, to be self-sufficient if need be and put food on the table. Annie even personally taught 15,000 women to shoot herself. She was neither a suffragette nor a feminist per se. She never went on record saying she believed that women should have the right to vote. But she did believe in and advocate for equal pay for equal work. And one of the interesting highlights of her life, too, is in 1898, Annie offered in a letter to President William H. McKinley to train and lead a company of 50 lady sharpshooters, and here I'm going to do air quotes again, who would provide their own arms and ammunition should war break out with Spain, which, of course, it did, the Spanish-American War. And that was important because Annie obviously believed in her ability to not only train these women, but lead them. So she had a tremendous amount of confidence in herself. Annie died in 1926, possibly from anemia and possibly from lead poisoning due to all her years of handling lead shot. And Frank Butler died 18 days later.
And why did you choose Annie Oakley as your inspirational woman in history?
I guess the main reason I admire Annie and the reason I chose her is that she was a quintessential self-made woman at a time when women were generally kept in the background. And over and above all that, Annie was the perfect example of what psychologists refer to as a challenged child. That's one who rises above extremely harsh circumstances to unusual heights of accomplishment. Or even, as Indiana Jones likes to say, fortune and glory. And so she was really a special lady, particularly given the time and the circumstances in which she lived. When all is said and done, why do I admire Annie so? Because not only did she rise to the heights of fame and glory, but after the horrors of her childhood, she could have sat back and felt sorry for herself or blamed the world for her troubles. But instead, she courageously rose above every challenge life handed her. and she made the most of her natural-born skills and the obtained abilities and shared the bounty that she created with other women. And in the end, you can't ask a whole lot more of that than anyone. But Annie herself said it best, aim at a high mark and you will hit it. No, not the first time, not the second time, and maybe not the third. But keep on aiming and keep on shooting, for only practice will make you perfect. Finally, you'll hit the bullseye of success.
And do you have one book that you would recommend to listeners so that they can start learning more about her?
If you want to learn more about Annie and her remarkable place in history, and I hope you do, the book I recommend you read is The Life and Legacy of Annie Oakley by Glenda Riley.
Well, there you have it for Annie Oakley. Teresa, thank you so much for sharing her story with us.
Thank you very much for having me today. I appreciate the opportunity to tell about my favorite and earliest heroine.
To learn more about her story and other projects by Chick History, you can visit the website chickhistory.com. And please join us every week for another story of an inspirational woman in history.
I'm here to tell a story, something precious and fine, about a woman who made a difference with her life. She might not be known, but to only a few. Her story remembered here is gonna change that view. Her history cannot be left behind. She shall not be forgotten. Her story not forgotten.